Some of you might be old enough to remember the children's program, Play School. There were three windows, one round, one square, and one arched. Each day, you would be invited to look through a different window, and there a new story would unfold. In this retreat series, we're looking through four different windows, all holding a story. One person's response to the challenges that face them, or a stream of wisdom that has gathered meaning through time. We begin with the spiritual search of a young Jewish woman, Etty Hillerson, who wanted to find a way of living her life at greater depth. The story begins in Amsterdam in 1941. At the time, Etty was living on the top floor of a large house, along with the owner, the owner's son, a student and a nurse, a mini community. She was the housekeeper, and she also gave one-to-one tuition in Slavonic languages to a number of students. She was aware that her inner life lacked order. She could be all over the place, and sometimes this caused her distress. Here she is beginning her diary in March 1941. I'm blessed enough intellectually to be able to fathom most subjects. I seem to be a match for most of life's problems. And yet deep down, something like a tightly wound ball of twine binds me relentlessly. And at times, I'm nothing more or less than a miserable, frightened creature, despite the clarity with which I can express myself. It was an accident of history that she began this journey as a young woman, 26, of Jewish descent, in Nazi-occupied Holland. Her journal traces the growing tide of oppression, almost incidentally at first. As the list of limitations placed on the freedom of movement of Jews begin to make inroads on her pattern of life. As the restrictions grew more severe and rumours spread about evils done elsewhere, the question of how to respond to this cruelty and the suffering that it brought moved towards the forefront of her mind. At an early stage, Etty came to see that alongside the discipline of physical exercise, she needed to become more focused in mind and in spirit. She had a mentor, Julius Speer, a disciple of Jung and a pioneer in psychotherapy. With his encouragement, she began to keep a journal as a means of paying attention to her inner life. She also took up the practice of daily meditation. She described this as listening to her inner voice, making herself a vast, empty plain, so that something of God could enter, and something of love too, the kind of love you can apply to everyday things. That phrase, something of God, perhaps gives a sense of Etty's tentative movement towards taking the reality of God seriously. The existence of God was part of her received cultural landscape. But at this time, in distant view, you might hear her surprise as she reflects on the fruit of 1 year's spiritual practice. I would say I've gained greater awareness and hence easier access to my inner sources, she writes. In the past, I too used to be one of those who occasionally exclaimed, I really am religious, you know. But now I sometimes actually drop to my knees beside my bed, even on a cold winter night. And I listen in to myself, allow myself to be led, not by anything on the outside, but by what wells up from deep within. It's still no more than a beginning, I know. But it's no longer a shaky beginning. It's already taken root. The image of a well, a spring, an inner source recurs through the pages of her diary, as here. There is a really deep well inside me, and in it dwells God. Sometimes I am there too, but more often stones and grit block the well, and God is buried beneath. Then he must be dug out again. I imagine that there are people who pray with their eyes turned heavenward. They seek God outside themselves. And there are those who bow their heads and bury it in their hands. I think that these seek God inside. Introverts like me may recognize that desire to go within, to find space in order to process experience, to sense how to respond. There's something more here than whether or not you're an introvert or an extrovert. What Etty discovered, to her own surprise, was that God was at home within her. And only in opening herself to God could she begin to know and express herself freely and fruitfully. Her own inner sources had their origin here. Her own soul, her essence of being as a living, dynamic, free individual, without distortion, without dissimulation, all that she longed for. Truly, she wrote, my life is one long hearkening unto myself and unto others, unto God. And if I say that I hearken, it is really God who hearkens inside me. The most essential and the deepest in me, hearkening unto the most essential and deepest in the other, God to God. Not only was God within her source, God's indwelling was also her shelter, a touching place with eternity, a shelter where sorrows could be received and then find new existence as fruit. She knew she had to consent to the building of this shelter and commit herself to the maintenance of this holy space. Then, she believed, the reality of suffering, of struggle, was always fruitful, capable of turning a life into a precious thing. One Sunday night, afflicted by fear at the growing tide of oppression, she took to her diary to talk with God. One thing is becoming increasingly clear to me, that you cannot help us, that we must help you to help ourselves. And that is all we can manage these days, and also all that really matters, that we safeguard that little piece of you in ourselves and perhaps in others as well. Alas, there doesn't seem to be much you yourself can do about our circumstances, about our lives. Neither do I hold you responsible. You cannot help us. But we must help you and defend your dwelling place inside us to the last. The image of a shelter suggests a place to hide away. And when life is difficult and disturbing, isn't that what we want to find? A place to escape, for a time at least. But the shelter that Etty discovered was a place of transformation, rather than for hiding. She writes, give your sorrow all the space and shelter in yourself that it is due, for if everyone bears his grief honestly and courageously, The sorrow that now fills the world will abate. But if you do not clear a decent shelter for your sorrow, and instead reserve most of the space inside you for hatred and thoughts of revenge, from which new sorrows will be born for others, then sorrow will never cease in this world and will multiply. And if you have given sorrow the space its gentle origins demand, then you may truly say, life is beautiful and so rich, so beautiful and so rich, that it makes you want to believe in God. The movement in Etty's life is, in one sense, a turning of the outside in, taking feelings, experiences, fears, thoughts into this soul shelter. Rather than denying feelings or trying to outstrip them by keeping moving, allowing them hospitality, even welcoming them, giving them a name, allowing them to teach her. You can't think your way, she wrote, out of emotional difficulties. That takes something altogether different. You have to make yourself entirely passive then, and just listen. Re-establish contact with a slice of eternity. Etty's shelter is not just her own hospitable inner space, but God within, receiving, welcoming, working with all she cannot manage, all she cannot heal. And this soul shelter also turns her inside out. The threat, she writes, grows ever greater, and terror increases from day to day. I draw prayer around me like a dark protective wall, withdraw inside it as one might into a convent cell, and then step outside again, calmer and stronger and more collected again. This much I know. You have to forget your own worries for the sake of others, for the sake of those whom you love. All the strength and love and faith in God that one possesses, and which have grown so miraculously in me of late, must be there for everyone who chances to cross one's path and who needs it. And one of the final entries in her diary is a single line. We should be willing to act as a balm for all wounds. Looking through the window of Etty's search for integrity and a more fruitful life, what might we see? The discipline of spiritual practice. Some of us don't respond warmly to the idea of discipline. It might suggest externally imposed restrictions on our freedom. Etty approached the matter very practically. To bring about the integration she sought, and paradoxically to find that freedom from being pushed and pulled around by the confusion of her thoughts and feelings, she needed to do something. She chose to start purposefully listening into her experience through keeping a diary, and to open herself to deeper movements of her own spirit through meditation. She also recognised she needed the external support of a mentor, someone we might call today perhaps a spiritual director, spiritual accompanier. What is it you seek? And what will you do? Your answers may not be the same, yet you will need some definite form of commitment. And who knows, perhaps someone to encourage and support you. Though initially she didn't visualise her search as having at its heart opening to the life of God, this is what it became. In God within was the shelter for all she experienced and didn't know how to manage. Here was where her own truth and freedom began. If everything else was taken away, this was the one space to safeguard, nurture, and protect. How will you cooperate with God in the building of this transformative space, a shelter for your very soul? If Etty took her outside in, then God turned her in time, inside out. We must be willing to act as a balm for all wounds. Maybe this has been your journey in these last months, a year, more than a year, going within, listening, opening yourself to God. And now God is turning you inside out. And perhaps some particular expression of this is beginning to gather in you, a work for you to do, a life for you to live, a love for you to share. Looking through Etty's window, we see what it means to take our own spiritual well-being seriously and to discover that God takes us seriously too.